We started this season about artificial intelligence in San Francisco, the hometown of tech. And if any of you know San Francisco, you know that the hills there are a killer. So what's an out-of-shape ethicist to do? Take the bus. On one of these morning bus rides to work, I got to daydreaming. It wasn't uncommon to see autonomous cars on the street, but I wasn't up to trying one just yet. Instead, from the safety of my bus seat with a human driver, I imagined what this ride might be like if the bus was driving itself. Okay, before we jump into that future, let's take a trip down memory lane. It was four decades ago, and there I was, marching my way onto a city bus to go to kindergarten. I must have been nervous, but I don't remember that part. What I do remember is Carl and Rita. Carl was the bus driver, and Rita was the nice lady who sat next to me nearly every day. I had Carl to thank for finding me a buddy. Fast forward. Two decades ago, I found myself in the middle of Russia, relying on city buses. For someone who barely reads Cyrillic and has a tourist-level grasp of conversational Russian, making my way across town without even so much as a map was not for the faint of heart. This time, I do remember feeling unnerved. I would love to have had a Carl to find me a buddy. What I did have, though, was a group of bus drivers who did their very best to pimp up a fleet of secondhand Eastern European buses. Each bus was decked out in wildly unique themes that would warm the heart of a babushka or bring a smile to the face of those traveling with a morning hangover. There was something about the community of folks that ride the teddy bear bus or the porn bus that could wipe away anxiety and even get us singing. These experiences remind us of the human connections that can be forged on public transportation. They show us that riding the bus is more than just getting from point A to point B. There's something special about having a real bus driver, someone who can make us feel safe and comfortable in times when we might feel afraid. Imagine a future where artificial intelligence drives our buses. While there are undeniable technological advancement and efficiency gains that come with automation, we also have to consider the human benefits that a real bus driver brings to the table. Not to mention the value that the job brings to the driver. Let's test drive the idea that AI can coexist with human drivers, augmenting their skills and creating a harmonious blend of technology and empathy. The ad in the New York Daily News caught Bill Domenico's eye, MTA, in search of bus drivers. Bill was in his 30s, living on Staten Island with his wife, and wasn't making a lot of money selling records.
Didn't seem like too much of a future. So I really kind of needed something where I could get a break.
So, Bill took a chance in 1989 and applied for the job. He says he scored high marks on MTA's written test, and a few months later, was driving a bus.
Went down Lexington Avenue, went up Third Avenue, either to Harlem or to Washington Heights.
Bill drove this route for 5.5 years. The job was everything he'd hoped for. Stability, good pay. It also gave him a chance to move up the ranks.
I took the dispatcher's test. I stayed outside, working with buses outside on the streets. My basic job was monitoring the schedule, keep them on schedule, putting them back in place when they weren't in schedule. I had to take accident reports, fender benders, injury reports, either when the person got injured on the bus or the driver got injured or sick, and also set up detours when there were blockages.
It was a job he held for 25 years. During that time, Bill saw the ways technology changed public transportation. From the way people paid to ride the bus,
You know, we went from actual cash to the MetroCard.
To the way he and his colleagues scheduled the buses.
I got promoted in the summer of 1995. Everything was paper. They got to a point where you were able to print out the schedule for your location from a computer. Now, from that, it went GPS, and then it went to a program on a tablet.
Before Bill retired in 2020, he says AI technology had already changed the role of the bus dispatcher.
They consolidated dispatchers into a different position where they would be inside certain locations, monitoring a handful of routes and seeing, you know, on the screen where the bus is, and then call that bus and give the bus instructions.
Bus drivers in cities across the country are being monitored more now than they've ever been in the past. In some cities, AI cameras are mounted on the bus windshields to monitor the driver's behavior and provide real-time feedback. Here in Washington, D.C., the city requires bus drivers to complete a 90-second app game before they can go to work.
That game is supposed to determine if you're fatigued or not. In any event that the game feels like you might be fatigued, you still have to go through to a manager and, I guess, have them assess you.
That's Barry Wilson, the recording secretary of Amalgamated Transit Union Local 689. The union represents thousands of bus and subway employees with D.C.'s Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, or WMATA. Barry, who's been a D.C. bus driver for more than two decades, says the union became aware of the Fit for Work app this year.
They feel like they can replace the human brain or the human function with computers and technology.
That's why the union's contract with WMATA has a technology clause.
So we have a clause in our contract that states, any event they bring machinery to the company and they will have to train our present mechanics on any material that they bring.
The union's technology clause specifically addresses electric buses, not artificial intelligence. But Anthony Garland, the union's international vice president and a former D.C. bus driver, says that's something they're working on.
Then you're talking about adding an AI element, talking about a fully automated system. For the union, it's a nightmare because, of course, we're thinking about losing jobs. We're thinking about the ability to keep transit public, not to make it a machine.
Driverless vehicle companies have hit some bumps in the road as they've tried to roll out services across the country. They've caused traffic jams and collisions. So far, only three U.S. cities have driverless taxis, and 11 others are testing them out. There's no driverless public bus service in the U.S. yet. But while Anthony is concerned artificial intelligence will replace human bus drivers, he says there are a few rules of the road that technology will never master.
I can tell you so many times I operated a bus, a mother would get on there with their child and say, "Operator, can you let my daughter off at intersection, blah, 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 so she can go to school?" And she'll sit that child right there in the priority seat right next to me because she can't be late for work another day. So she has to go directly to work, but she knows that she has safety and comfort with that operator to get her child off at that intersection. And those are the things, those little small things that you just can't replace with a computer. You just can't.
Bill's story and his concern remind me of Carl, my first bus driver. My experiences riding the bus as a kid serve as a reminder that as we embrace automation in public transportation, we must consider the potential risks and challenges that come along with it. Let's strive for a future where technology and human interaction work hand in hand, where decisions are made by asking the simple question, what does it profit? What Does It Profit is a production of the Solidarity Economy Workshop at Georgetown University. The show is hosted by me, Dr. Dawn Carpenter. Jordan Gasparre is our senior producer. Our engineer and designer is Mark Bush. Special thanks to our assistant producers, Luke McFadden and Sunana Sunda. And of course, our intern, Abby Trepas. Music for What Does It Profit was composed by Nick Pennington. Support for What Does It Profit is provided by the Kalmanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor and the Capital Applied Learning Lab at Georgetown University. Additional support provided by the Joan and Ralph Lane Center for Catholic Social Thought and Ignatian Tradition at the University of San Francisco. You can learn more at whatdoesitprofitpodcast.com.